To what extent are parents responsible for their children before they reach maturity and after? Hello, I'm Alden Thompson. Welcome to Probe, where we're talking further this week about religion in relationships and focusing on parenthood, joys, and responsibilities. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas, Dean of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College, and Aline Bauer, visiting instructor in theology, also on our campus. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Now, let's get down to talk about that basic question I just raised. How long do parents stay responsible for their kids? And to what extent are they responsible? If my kids do something naughty, do I pay the price?
Well, that's a wide-open question, Alden. The answer to that is always yes. But I think the price is different depending on the season of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when our first child was born, I called my dad and he said, "Well, son, now you know what it means. Now you will come to know what it means that your children are always with you."
Mm-hmm.
Whether they live or die, whether they do well or poorly, whether you live to be middle-aged or old, your children are always with you. And in that sense, I think your question, really, you're talking about responsibility, is more tightly focused than that.
Yep.
And it seems to me that that responsibility varies. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I certainly think so. One never completely loses a sense of responsibility, but the extent to which one intervenes and bears guilt for it, I think, would be quite different.
Well, and I think there is a time when the responsibility, if the parent continues to hold on to it, can be a detriment to the child, depending on the stage of life where they are.
Yeah, and I think in childhood, the parent is responsible for a lot of things for a child, not only for their sustenance and support and security, but for their formation.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that as you get through the adolescent years into the adult years, that whole thing shifts and becomes internalized and finally becomes the responsibility of the child. Because remember, the child may go on to become a parent him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for parents to bear indefinite responsibility really doesn't make sense.
But I do know an awful lot of parents who have children, adult children, who they feel are not in the kingdom, quotes, and feel a grave sense of guilt and responsibility for that. Well, what would you say to those parents? Is there something to help relieve that guilt or to help them not feel, quote, so responsible for the choices their children have made?
Dave, I don't know whether you have something, but maybe some of the biblical examples where the results are not correlated at all with the goodness of the parents. I think that can be an encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think simply to point out to the parents that a child eventually reaches adulthood, and part of being adult is being responsible for yourself. And, you know, one of the scary things about being a parent is that when you hold that little child in your hands, you realize that inside of that child is a capacity to go against and to contravene everything you hold dear. And what can you do about it? The only thing you can do is hope to influence and do everything you can to guide and direct that child in the hopes that that child will of its own adopt the rubric of life that you find so dear.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we all know parents who are full of rejoicing when they find their children who have done that. And there's a great sense of tragedy when it doesn't happen. But I really think it's not proper for parents to hoist upon themselves this unending sense of responsibility for children who choose to go bad. They do make choices. See, and maybe the challenge comes from the fact that none of us feel that we were perfect parents. We know we struggle to feel like we were adequate parents.
Right.
And so, but I've also found that children are resilient. You know, they don't damage that easily. Quite frankly, you have to persist at it to really do harm.
Well, and I think too, you can make a lot of mistakes as parents, and if the child knows there's a basic love there, they forgive an awful lot of those mistakes that we do.
That's right. And if they also know that you were not being malicious or ill-intentioned,
right?
You know, that. If you are doing the best you can, and your child can make accommodation for that. See, and you know, Aline, I don't like it when children try to make their parents feel responsible. See,
And
like,
you see
Dad,
a lot of
you're
that
the one
today.
That raised
mm-hmm.
me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm the one that raised you, but you done grown up, if you pardon my English. See,
mm-hmm.
you
know?
Well, it's, and of course, in this business of responsibility, how parents administered discipline and so on is rather an interesting one. And there, I have some funny memories on that. For example, in our house, we had one of these old leather straps. Razor straps,
mm-hmm.
and the last time I remember my dad using it on my sister and me is that we were gathered around for some moment of discipline. I don't know what it was for, but he broke out into giggles.
Rendered ineffective. Huh?
Rendered ineffective. He just couldn't do it, and that was the last time he ever tried to use it. And I rather remember that.
So, Alden, you bring up an interesting subject. What about all the texts in the Bible that talk about sparing the rod and spoiling the child and so forth?
That's a good question to bring up, but I didn't want you to bring it up to me. I wanted you guys to help me answer that. Because you can really come down hard if you take those things. Boy, we're going to beat the tar out of you because that's the only way you're going to learn.
Yeah. Well, having experienced corporal punishment in an official capacity in school in my growing up years, I can tell you that it in some ways does get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also tell you that it can be very easily overdone and it becomes ineffective. In fact, I think beyond infancy, it's largely ineffective. I remember going to school with a boy who was in the principal's office for the cane so many times that he actually used to joke that it didn't bother him anymore because he had developed calluses on his mm-hmm. posterior. So,
mm-hmm. Well, our colleague Pedrito tells about his mother, you know, hammering away on him, and he would never cry.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't stop until he got some tears. So he would tell his brother, bring some water over here to splash on my face.
Yeah. But that's not to obscure the fact that I think especially with little children,
mm-hmm.
in situations of drastic misbehavior or disobedience, that a small degree of corporal punishment is a great attention getter.
Well, do you see a difference between discipline and punishment?
Oh, I see a big difference, yeah. In fact, I think we should be very careful as Christians about punishment.
Okay.
Because to me, punishment is not only making amends for what was wrong, but it's adding now a harsh penalty.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not restorative, it's vindictive.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline, on the other hand, I think looks at restitution, making amends for what you've done, but doing so in as gracious and redemptive a manner as possible. And see, punishment really scares me because I see punishment, I remember one child who I don't think was ever free of being grounded by his parents, and I used to chuckle because how do you keep track? You know, well, you did something, so you're grounded for a week, and the next tomorrow you do something else. So what do? Add another week beyond that, or is this concurrent sentence? You know, I mean, if we get into all of this stuff like that, I don't like it at all. I think it's very damaging.
You know, I'm thinking that we may have some listeners who are hearing this and looking back to their parenting years and wishing they had done something differently. What sort of encouragement could we give to people who are thinking, you know, if only I could go back, if I knew now, what I know now?
I think what Dave was saying the other day, you got to do a lot of things to kids before you really ruin them.
That's encouraging.
Well, you know, I remember reading a story that involved, it was a very harsh father. He really was very remote and hard on his children, and in his late years, he realized the mistakes he had made, and I think he was man and Christian enough to take responsibility for what he did. And he traveled to the city where his estranged son lived, and he looked him up and apologized to him and said, you know, I'm here to tell you that I was not a good father. And he says, I am very regretful of that, and I would be very pleased if somehow we could start today and create a friendship. And it was a very brittle and troubled friendship, but it did begin, and it reversed to a great extent the damages of the earlier years. And see, I think that's the only thing we as human beings can do.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go back and fix what happened, but you can try to make up for it to some extent.
But I do think we also need to recognize the differences in people. I remember my wife, who's a very sensitive person, remember once when she was a little girl, she wrote some things on the wall.
And she got a spanking for it. And she said she remembered thinking at the time, I don't know why they spanked me. They just tell me not to do it, and I wouldn't have done it again.
Mm-hmm. But there's others you could tell it. And it just,
no, wouldn't doubt.
Yeah.
But for me, it didn't take corporal punishment. I was a teacher in grade school who thought we should get more sleep. And so she had a board up there with a set of sun, moon, and stars for each one of us. And when we come in the morning, she would ask us whether we got our 10 hours of sleep. And if you didn't get 10 hours of sleep, then your sun and moon and stars went over to the dark side. A little mark there. That haunted me for years.
Is that right?
Yeah. I would wake up screaming in the night and say, I can't go to sleep. I can't go to sleep. Very sensitive youngster. And so mm-hmm. I wasn't involved in just a little visual thing up there, but we need to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before time runs out again, I want us to take a look at this, again, taking responsibility, because I think one of the things that is most intriguing about the Bible is what it tells us about how good parents turn out bad kids and bad parents turn out good kids.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested in your reflections on that.
Well, I think both of those do happen, and I think that only demonstrates the truthfulness of what we said earlier, that people do grow up to be responsible for themselves. And I see this sometimes flip-flopping generation to generation, where a bad person has a very good child, and it's almost like they're a reaction to the business of their parents. They decide early on, I'm not going to be like my dad or my mom. See? And of course, the converse is true, that sometimes good parents have children who turn out bad.
Well, I think if there's anywhere in the Old Testament that really comes to light, is in the story of the kings, because you have a good king and he has a son and wicked. And then that wicked king has a son and he turns out to be good. And you have this cycle.
Especially towards the end of the monarchy, you have good king Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz, who was a wicked king.
Yeah.
And then good king Hezekiah has Manasseh.
One of the worst kings.
Yeah, one of the worst kings, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Manasseh's son Ammon, who was bad, has Josiah, who was another good king.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Alden, we should say something about provoking children.
That's a good point. We don't have much time, but what should we do when fathers provoke their children?
Well, I think they should try not to provoke their children. And see, I think the key question is, what do you have to do to provoke somebody? And really, you have to, it seems to me, you have to infringe on their sense of being and personhood. Is that you become very authoritarian and high-handed. And that provoking people is not a good thing in adulthood or in childhood.
Doesn't that come in Ephesians, where the first text is submitting to one another, which is really an act of love, and which applies, of course, to husbands and wives, which we'll talk about later, but applies to parents and children as well?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, again, it depends on the expectations of the child. One child wants direction. Another one doesn't want any direction at all. And I think that one needs to be sensitive on those scores.
Yeah, but either way, we should not be forcing issues on children against their will. Well, I'm not talking about moral issues, but, you know, we should not be forcing people back and forth.
That's true, and especially on inconsequential things or on, you know, simple structural things.
Yeah.
Well, my thanks to you, Aline and Dave, for helping us out today on our discussion of parenting. Next week, we're going to stay with the family and talk about Marriage is Not Out of Date. And Aline and Dave will be with us again. My thanks to Jeremy Erland, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For Probe, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you may call 509-527-2194 or email probe@wwc.edu. Join us again next week at this same time for Probe.